Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, September 11th. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome back Anissa Waheed of Tara Kitchen in Schenectady, Troy, New York City, and India. Anissa is a world traveler, an entrepreneur, a cookbook author, a creator of dishes that bring flavors from around the world into her legendary Moroccan menu. And ooh-wee, there are big doings in Anissa's world, and we're going to talk about that today and take your calls. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email the program at voxpop@wamc.org. But the number again is 800-348-2551, the one, the only Anissa Waheed, and your calls coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Food Friday, and we welcome back a Food Friday favorite, Anissa Waheed of Tara Kitchen, with locations in Schenectady, Troy, New York City, India, a catering facility in Gilderland. Tara Kitchen has been a staple of the region's culinary scene over many years now. Anissa Waheed is the author of a cookbook entitled Easy Moroccan Cookbook. She has this home program, which we've talked about a little bit, with local school districts fighting xenophobia through food. She's partnered up with Aramark to do food on an industrial basis, if you will, and we'll talk about that. She's always a favorite on this program. And let me tell you something, there's a lot going on in Anissa's world right now to catch up on. There always is. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 if you want to join the conversation. Email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Anissa Waheed, it's great to have you back.
Thank you so much, Ray. Great to see you.
Let's talk about this social media post you made, which has really, people have gone, there's been so much reaction to this.
Yeah.
Let's set it up. Now, on 9/11/2001, you were in New York City, right?
I was in New York City.
Explain.
I was in Midtown working for Quad Graphics, which is actually a company up in Saratoga, although they might have closed now. But anyway, and I was living in the West Village, and we were, you know, just another day in the office. I was kind of hanging out, talking to the receptionist, and when we, after the first tower had been hit, and none of us could believe it. We were just watching it from the glass windows. You know, and then, like, as we're there, the second tower gets hit, and then we knew that, like, something really big was going to happen, and, you know, kind of, like, all hell broke loose, so to speak.
It certainly did.
We were a printing company primarily, and we had all these digital assets, and that was part of what I used to do, and we were all at that time thinking, like, you know, safety, obviously, for people. Is the city under attack? Where do you go? I mean, it was just really, really crazy. And I remember sort of running out of the building with another coworker of mine once we had come up with a plan. And just chaos yeah. Everywhere. I wasn't able to go back to my apartment for well over a week.
Where'd you stay?
Corporate apartments.
Yeah.
My company had corporate apartments in Midtown, so I was lucky to have that option. They took care of us, you know. I mean, I think everybody took care of everybody. But I remember very distinctively thinking how this was just going to change the world. But I think it, like, really impacted and changed me also.
How could it not?
I think as a 20-something-year-old, I didn't have the capability to think that it would change me.
Yeah.
You know, it did, and I only realized that, you know, later on.
Well, you made a post, I guess, on Facebook. I must confess, I haven't had Facebook in, I don't know, 7-8 years.
Good for you.
It feels pretty good. not going to lie. But this post that you made, you showed me on your phone.
Yeah.
Your location now in New York is so close.
Very poignant.
To ground zero. So explain what this post is and the reaction.
Yeah, so I left work last night and in Tribeca, and I turn around and I see the two lights, you know, shining up into the sky. And every day I walk to the subway, I see the new World Trade Center. And every single day I see... It literally takes me back to that day, right?
Yeah.
And I have different feelings about it every day. But yesterday was, like, especially somehow special and sort of a reminder in a way that was sort of like painful, but also at the same time thinking about just how far we have gotten, and at the same time thinking about how far we have not gotten.
How far there is to go.
You know, so it was very, lots of emotions tied around it. And I took this picture where you can see Tara Kitchen and the two lights, and then you see the new building as well. It was a very powerful moment for me because in a million years, I wouldn't have imagined 25 years ago that this would be my life today. But I think in many, many, many ways, that day started it.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
That started you on the path where you are now, which is one step down from world domination.
I wish. No, it started me on the path of like wanting to really discover who I was, what I wanted to do in life, and how I wanted to go about it. You know, I was sort of like kind of just, you know, going along and not really with no clear direction, no clear understanding of world events. I didn't even know until 9/11 happened, like what was this about? What's happening out in the world? And, you know, just living in my own little bubble. And I think that really impacted me in a very powerful way.
You know, we won't dwell too much on it because all day our programming has been about that.
Sure.
But you were there. And up here, I was on the air just about this time on 9/11, in the 4 to 7 p.m. It was great, great confusion.
Yeah.
What was it like to be on the ground with virtually no communication?
Zero communication, payphones. I remember seeing payphones just like, you know, with the phones dangling everywhere. Nobody could connect to anybody. I couldn't call mom. I couldn't call dad. I was the only one in the city from obviously my family. I was living there. Everybody was panicking, trying to call us. We're trying to call them. And I remember having this conversation with some of the colleagues at work that, hey, you know, would you be able to kind of do X, Y, Z for the office, because most of us have to go away, like because people were trying to get to their families and or leave the island and all those kind of things. So there was like an extreme small number of people that were sort of left behind to see what we could do in case, because we're a printing company, you know, Time's calling, Life magazine's calling. We're like, oh, we're going to print this issue. So life is still kind of lifing. And at the same time, you're going through this massively traumatic event. And it's like, I couldn't even get to my apartment. I walked down to my apartment that day. And then the MP stopped us and said, you can't get past this, right?
Yeah.
So it was just extreme amount of chaos.
Yeah, I mean, we were listening on the roundtable today. One of our newer employees, news editor Diane DeVore, she was at ABC News at that time. And, you know, she talked about the vibe. After the terrible things happened, people sort of banded together,
100%.
And people were in the street, and there was a feeling. Did you feel that?
100%. And, you know, I remember at one point I got through to my parents, and my mom's crying, and she's like, just come home. They live up here. Just come home. And I was like, Mom, first of all, I can't leave the city because there's just everything's, like, blocked and all that stuff. And second of all, I don't want to leave the city. You know, I don't want to feel like I'm being pushed out or, you know, threatened out, or, you know, it's like if there's something that I can do to help this or whatever it was, like I really felt the need to like dig my heels in and be there. I don't know what that was about because it wasn't like I did anything, you know. I mean, there are obviously amazing, great heroes who have done amazing stuff, but I really felt like being in the city, being part of the community at that time, you know, whatever we could do, whether it was cleanup, whether it was sort of, you know, getting waters to people or whatever it was, I really felt that I wanted to do that. Like, no one was going to run me out of my city.
Yeah. You know, and that's a great thing about New Yorkers, too. They're not going to be pushed around. Here's the thing. You spend a lot of time in New York City now. You have a very successful restaurant down there just near Ground Zero. You were there before 9/11 happened. You were there after 9/11 happened. Is the fabric, and it's a tough question to answer, but is the fabric of the people changed at all in 25 years?
I think it has. I don't think that you go through something like that and that it not change it, right? It has. There was, you know, post 9/11, I think it felt very different. There was sort of a depressive malaise, yeah, sort of blanket all over the city.
And not just in the city.
True. You know, you kind of felt it. Like, we couldn't just get out of it, you know. Prior to that, I just remember the fun, the liveliness, you know, the going out, this, that, da, 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 da. And then something, like, you just grew up instantly, right? And then I think, you know, 2008, the financial crisis of that was another big blow. COVID was another big blow. So, and I've been through the city through all of those phases. But I'll tell you something. Regardless, what does not change in the city is its will and desire to just keep chugging on.
Yeah.
And, you know, how it does it and how that manifests might show up differently. But the resilience of the people, the resilience of the city itself, and how you feel and how it kind of moves about is not something that, you know, I think you would find in many places.
Anissa Waheed is our guest from Tara Kitchen. And let me tell you something. We've reflected back 25 years. There's a lot going on today in Anissa's world that we're going to talk about next. And we'll take your calls if you wish. 800-348-2551 is the number. VoxPop at WAMC.org for the email. Back in a flash. The Dap Kings there, the reason here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is the number. Anissa Waheed is our guest from Tara Kitchen. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. All right, Anissa. The newspapers have it. Everyone's talking about it. What is going on with Tara Kitchen?
Well, lots going on with Tara Kitchen. And, you know, I was speaking to someone earlier today, and I was telling them I left corporate America in about 2009 to kind of become a full-time, 100% entrepreneur. And one of the reasons we decided, my husband and I decided to do it in upstate, was not only was it cheaper, but also because we wanted to start a family.
Right.
And when we thought about where are we going to start a family, it obviously made sense to do it up here, close to our family and, you know, the kind of environment that would be very good and productive to raise kids.
Right.
And it seems like, you know, 20 years later, the kids are driving this bus again.
Well, they always do. They always do.
Yeah. So both my daughters are in high school. And last year we started this conversation about where and what that looks like once they get out of high school. And what does that mean? You know, that really started a conversation for my husband and I and for our business. What does that mean for our business? Are they taking over? Are they not? Were they going to college? And a lot of that discussion really led us to the idea that the family wanted to be in New York City more than anywhere else. You know, I think for many, many, many reasons, the opportunities that they can have in schools in the city and the kind of system that New York offers that is not available for schools up here and kids up here, programs that they can do outside of school, like Zoya's participating in a program with MoMA for the next 6-8 months, you know,
cool,
doing an art program for kids in the city. Suha's doing something at the Brooklyn Library. Like, just things that they would not have access to,
right,
here. Of course, the business is really growing in the city, and my professional work and career is also sort of pulling me in that direction geographically.
Yeah.
So as a family, it just makes more sense for us to be there, and we evaluated some schools and we said, well, you know, how do we go? So it took us a good year to really understand how this move would really happen for the kids and for the family. And then the decisions about Tara Kitchen were easy because I sort of lead with both my husband and I lead with the family. We don't lead with the business.
Yeah.
So every decision we have ever made has been around how does this impact the four of us as a unit.
Well, that's all well and good for your family, but what about the rest of us here? Tara Kitchen's been around for a while. A lot of people depend on it.
Well, so the good news is Schenectady, the original, you know, mothership, is still going to be around in the extremely capable hands of Josh Gabry, who's been with me for a very long time. Not only is he my dear friend, but also an integral part of the company, and he's been with us for well over 10 years. So he's going to be running, managing, and, you know, cooking out of that location. I will still be coming back and forth. I'm still doing my home program, which is about...
Which we'll talk about again in a minute.
You know,
it's been successful,
diplomacy.
Huh?
Yep. We had an extremely successful pilot in June with that, and we're going into more with that into September. So my work in upstate is not done, right? And who knows once... Right now, I really want to focus on the next 3-4 years for Zoya and Suha and their high school. And honestly, it kind of gave me a little bit of panic once I realized that they were in high school.
Yeah,
because
it goes fast, doesn't it?
I was like, wait a minute, it's going to be 4 years, they're going to be in college, and I'm going to get no more cuddles, no more, you know, late night talks and buckets of ice cream.
I think you probably will get all of those things based on my experience. It's going to be okay.
But I went into, listen, Suha was 3 days old when I went back to work.
Yeah.
Okay. So I never got maternity leave with either Suha or with Zoya. I've never really had like long chunks of time when I've been able to be with them. I've not been, for a long time, Zoya Suha said that everybody at school thought Lola, their nanny, was their mom. And I was like, guys, nobody thinks this.
That hurts.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I want to spend the next 4 years like being PTA mom and spending as much time as I can with them.
Now, pardon me if I'm a little skeptical of this. I know that you can and you will be a PTA mom, but you have that business sense. And you now, what's going to happen with some of the other locations around here first? Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk about the fact that Tara Kitchen not going away in Tribeca, right?
Yeah. So, brief recap. Schenectady will continue to operate all of that stuff for the next near future. There are zero plans of anything happening to Schenectady.
Great.
Troy will be closing. Troy is coming up on its 10-year anniversary.
Amazing how time flies.
10 years. You know, we've had a great run, Ray. We've had a great run. You know, that's a great location, great business. We're in the process right now of figuring out a transition with a new team as a different business, not as a Tara Kitchen. And I don't know how long that takes, month, 2 months, 3 months. Whenever that happens, that will happen. Then Troy will kind of close. And Gilderland, which is basically a catering hub, will continue to, that's an asset that's on the market right now for purchase. So once that purchase happens, a lot of our catering work will shift to Schenectady.
Yeah.
And then Schenectady will continue to operate the way it does.
Well,
but
that's good news.
Yeah, so Troy and Gil, there's no clear date on when that will happen. It's just a process that we've started, and we're not in any big, great rush, but it needs to happen.
What about India? What about that location?
Yeah, so, you know, because of all of this stuff, last year we put things in place in India where I would not have to spend as much time traveling back and forth and getting people in there to do stuff that's a little bit more local friendly that, you know, they can manage and train and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So it reduces my travel time over there. I felt that the 2 years that I did spend building and, you know, setting that place up took a lot of that away from the girls. And I want to make sure that the next 4 years, I don't do that.
I don't want to editorialize, but I think it's so admirable that you're taking family first. I think it's just such a wonderful
thing. I mean, we all do that. We all do that, don't we?
Well, we try.
Yeah.
I mean,
I try too, and I fail sometimes. So this time I'm hoping and praying I get it right.
Anisa Waheed is our guest today from Tara Kitchen. The number is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Are you surprised at the reaction to everyone when you said, hey, listen, I'm going to be New York City based now?
Yeah. I mean, I've known this for well over a year.
And you didn't tell me you've been on the show? What?
Because we had to obviously do a tremendous amount of planning, applying for the schools for the girls that started last year, research, all of that stuff, right? But I think putting it out into the universe yesterday kind of cements it for me also. And I was extremely endeared to see the reaction, and I had zero, I mean, I guess I shouldn't say I had zero idea that I've had that kind of an impact in the community, because that sounds silly. But I did. I was sort of surprised by how much this feels like a breakup for everyone.
You know what, though? There are a lot of great restaurants.
Yeah.
This feels different. It's more than just about food, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think I've been so loved, and I've been so blessed, and I've lived this past two decades sort of in the public's eye, and it's really an honor, and I'm touched by it every single time. And just to see, I couldn't even, usually I try to respond to a lot of the comments and stuff, and I just couldn't, because I was sort of a big ball of mess.
Oh, well, you seem pretty composed today, and you drove up here from the city today.
Yes, to see
this
all
could
you
be
guys.
Our last show. This could be your exit interview on this show, huh?
Don't say that.
Okay, well, I hope you come back.
You never know what I'm going to do in 3 months.
All right. Well, that I know is true. The number here is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. Anissa Waheed is here. Tell me about the success of the home program.
I'm so excited for it. You know, so we debuted at the at ASH, at the Albany School of Humanities,
right,
to the elementary school. It was so successful. We brought food in. The kids ate this, you know, this chicken that had Moroccan sauces and seasoning to it. They loved it. Then we did this whole presentation around what it means, you know, to have food from different parts of the world and how food has come to America. And seeing that reaction, that feedback from them, the administrators, and all of that stuff. So that program is well and alive and, you know, in the hands of more people than just ASH. So we're talking to Niskuna. We're talking to other schools, other districts, and we have some more programs coming up in September.
Well, tell me about, and you've talked to me about this, but for those who have not heard, the impetus, the goal of the home program in fighting xenophobia and things that like that through food and real culture, and just saying, hey.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it started last year when my kids were hearing some stuff at school, and I was hearing some stuff around work and on social media and in the press and all of this kind of stuff. And I was really kind of thinking about, you know, what could I say and do that could, at least the kids in school that my kids were going to school with, could try and understand what it means to have diversity, right?
Yeah.
And I think, like, food is such a great way to introduce this idea and concept to kids about diversity, you know, that although you're eating potatoes this way and he's eating potatoes this way, it's all still potatoes.
Yeah.
And guess what? Potatoes don't come from his country or your country. They actually come from Peru. And imagine that. Like, if we didn't have immigrants, you would not have French fries, you know, or things like that. So I think, you know, I wanted to try and get the sense, not like, there are lots of anti-bullying campaigns out there. There are lots of ways to talk to kids, children, about diversity and inclusion and stuff. But I really feel that using food as a medium gets them to understand. And then with the home program, one of the things that we do is we leave behind a map of the world for the kids. And then we get the culinary teams on board to try and educate the kids of where the ingredients that they're eating actually originated from, or where some of the recipes come from. And then the kids go to the map, which is in the cafeteria, and then put pins for how the food got to America. And I think, you know, that understanding could lead to a lot of understanding about when they see different people and different faces.
It has been successful, or I have not seen it, but you say it has been successful.
I mean,
but how can you gauge how you're getting through to kids?
It's their engagement. And then what's happening in the classroom and the feedback that we're getting from the teachers. You know, we wouldn't be getting callbacks, and, you know, we're in touch with the schools and asking them, how is this impacted? And then the program that I created, the idea was not to do this one-off assembly in the school and then them be like, oh, this is so fun, and then everybody forget about it, right? So it's an ongoing program that we are trying to build into the school system across the year. So the culmination of this will be an international food festival at the school where we're going to invite local restaurants and chefs and stuff to bring diverse food into the cafeteria. So then the kids can be like, oh my God, I, you know, connect the dots to this. So it's something that's precisely why I wanted it to be a year-long program where there's a home club in the school. So kids are learning about ingredients and where they come from and how they were brought to America.
You're going to be in the city for most of the time.
Yeah.
And you already are, really, for all intents and purposes. Who's going to run the program? Is it going to grow?
I mean, you know, I have always been someone who's traveled a lot. I mean, remember when I was doing India every 3 weeks?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
This is only a 2.5-hour drive.
Okay, fair enough. By the way, the number here is 800-348-2551 if you care to say goodbye to Anissa Waheed. But no, I'm only kidding, because the Schenectady location will still be open. And I tell you, if you've read the papers today, it is big news. And it has to kind of stroke the old ego a little bit, doesn't it?
I'm sad, but at the same time, really excited for all the new things that are coming and going. And look, we've had an amazing run, 20 years of doing this food in upstate, building a life, a career, kids, restaurants, and, you know, the people we've met, the friendships, the community, all of it has, who gets to say that, right?
Well,
who gets to say that?
Right.
And have so much love that I've received in this community. That to me is like, and that's not going to go away. I'm still going to continue to do stuff here in this community, the home program. I'm starting to take culinary tours to Morocco. My first tour is in November.
It's not on my script. I never saw that. Wait, tell me about this.
So about 2 times a year, I'll take these culinary tours to Morocco where we're going to travel across the country, not only just kind of experience the culture and, you know, the history and all of that stuff, but actually do cooking classes, learn the history of couscous, preserved lemons, and, you know, Roman traditions, Arab traditions, Jewish traditions. How did this food come to be? And the first tour is leaving November 22nd.
Wow.
So that's going to be a huge part of what I'm doing. And a lot of the people who have signed up are from the upstate area. Schenectady, you know, continues to be and is one of our biggest locations.
Yeah.
And is a huge presence in this community. And remember, you know, when we opened Wildwood, Troy, Gilderlin, all of those reasons, the reasons we opened all of those was because we had time while the kids were in school and all of that stuff. And now we need to scale that back down to a place where we can spend time with our teenage daughters in high school and getting them ready for sort of the next phase of their life. So it just makes sense to do this. So I'm going to, I mean, my parents are here, my siblings are here. This is home,
yeah.
You know? So I'm not going away in a big, big way. But of course, yeah, the locations will, yeah.
I mean, I would assume your teenage children would probably have loved to have the Wildwood location open a little more, an excuse to go to the beach.
No, I don't know if you remember this, but one of the big reasons we shut it down was because of them.
They did not like it?
No, they loved the whole beach thing. But what they started getting opposed to was the idea that their entire summer was getting locked into Wildwood.
Oh, yeah.
So this year, they traveled extensively. You know, last year we didn't open. This last summer we didn't open. Oh, it was, yeah. And they got to travel extensively. They went to Europe to see their, you know, family there. They went to, a couple places in America to visit family, Texas, LA, all of this kind of stuff. And that was one of the big reasons, because they're like, Mom, you know, we want to do clubs with our friends. We want to travel. We just want to be on this island. So that was definitely a huge factor in why Wildwood closed, was because between the kids and then just us being locked into that island for a few months.
You know, you opened it during the pandemic. We've talked about it before.
It was so great.
But I mean,
yeah,
there should be some kind of a monument to a business person who can do that during a pandemic. That's another topic. Let's go to the phones. Betsy is in Schenectady. Betsy, you're on.
Why, hi there.
Hi, Betsy. How are you?
Oh, very, very sad. But I just wanted to make sure that all the listeners knew about the stuff you do. Your support of Kids Arts Festival during COVID, Kara Kitchen supported an essay writing contest, your support of SUNY Schenectady, Chefs for Success, your support last year when that traveling water circus came through and you completely donated, didn't even want any money for feeding that group. What was the name of that group?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
Betsy,
right now,
what's a traveling water circus? You got to tell me first. What is that?
Flotsam. Flotsam. That was it.
Flotsam. Okay.
F-L-O-T-S-A-M. And they were all
embarrassing
vegetarian.
Betsy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was all vegetarian. So you did that wonderful lentil dish and mandarin oranges with spinach. And yeah. Yeah. So
This is great. This is, you know what this is like? There was a show in the old days called, what was it? This Is Your Life, where people would come, do you remember me, Anissa, from third grade? Good for you, Betsy.
Oh, but
well, yes, don't be sad. Yes. Schenectady's still going to be open. We're still going to do all that we do, yes. And we'll do it in a bigger, better way.
I know, but it's not quite the same.
I know.
Well,
I know.
You know what?
Yeah.
On that.
So, but, and.
Go ahead. You put a ribbon on
for
it.
For all of the many, many Kati rolls and the many thank you dinners for After Kids Arts Fest and for everything, all the best.
Oh, thank you so much, Betsy.
Betsy, thanks for the call. We'll take a quick break here. Anissa Waheed is here. Now she's getting really embarrassed. 800-348-2551 is the number if you'd like your shot at embarrassing Anissa. Or you can email voxpop@wamc.org, and I'll do it for you. We'll be back. Vox Pop, it's Food Friday. Ray Graff with you. Anissa Waheed of Tara Kitchen is joining us. And the number, once again, is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. So we've covered the fact that you're pretty much going to be New York City-based, although Schenectady will stay open. Have you thought about, and you know, you've done some amazing business and entrepreneurial things since you've been on the show. And how many years is that?
Long time.
Long time. Right? Have you thought about after the kids are done with high school? What happens then?
Yeah, I've thought about that. You know, and I think one of the things and directions I want to take my career into is sort of like public work,
yeah.
Advocacy.
Politics?
Politics.
Really?
Yes.
You know what? I've been saying that for a very
I
long
think
time.
You have.
Yeah.
You called it.
But New York City is a tough place to do politics.
Well, I mean, politics to me doesn't necessarily mean that I'll run for office, you know.
Why not?
I don't know if, you know, that's the direction I want to go in. I think I'm, you know, the direction I really would rather be in is policy making and, you know, making changes. And I'm already working with the new government over there.
In New York City?
In New York City. Doing a lot of work with the Office of Mom and Pop, which is called the Office of Mom and Pops. Wait, Mom and Pop Czar, something like that. Mom
right.
and Pop Czar. And it's primarily focused on like the very small businesses of New York City. And my focus within that organization has been to really advocate and create systems and policies in place that help mom and pop restaurants in New York City, specifically MWBE. So it's a very, very niche type of thing. But, you know, I've been able to do a lot of work with that, you know, attend meetings and give my ideas, go to testimonies, you know, speak to people in front of the coach department, the coach bench that they had for people to come and sort of, you know, talk about that stuff and have lots of meetings with them to see what could be done to help and support these very small businesses in a way that can help them kind of, you know, succeed.
A couple questions about that. One, I mean, in a way, you're sort of aiding potential competition.
It never phases me. You know, it was the same thing like when I did, when I wrote my cookbook or I made my sauces and stuff. And, you know, my kids would always be like, but mom, why will they ever come to your restaurant now? They have your cookbook.
Yeah, well, there's a long way between having a cookbook and
that's
doing it.
That's what I say to them.
Yeah.
You know what? And I, for me, I feel I have crossed so many barriers and been able, and so lucky, and been able to like really sustain a business for so long, in spite, despite all of the, you know, obstacles in my way. And I know them, I see them, and I feel like nobody pays attention to them. So if I can do something to make it better for the guy behind me or the woman behind me, that I think is very important to do.
Anissa Waheed is our guest today from Tara Kitchen. Never been in the restaurant industry. Don't spend that much time anymore in New York City, but it's very competitive.
Extremely. And how do I do it?
Well, I know that you do it through great food, and you have a business savvy that is, it's tough to come by. Question is, if you're helping everyone and you're involved in policy making now, my second question, do you see a time when you're going to let go of Tara?
Yeah, of course. I don't, you know, my dad used to always say the only thing constant in life is change, right? I think he was saying that because somebody else said it, but I strongly believe in that. And I strongly believe into leaning into what's coming your way rather than fighting it. You know, look, I've been doing this for an extreme long time. Extremely pleasurable. It gives me a lot of satisfaction to do what I do on an everyday basis. But at the same time, who I am as a person, who I'm as a woman, who a mom, entrepreneur, all of that is constantly evolving and shifting as things change. So the idea of what I wanted as a 25-year-old or a 20-year-old is not going to be the same, you know, as a 50-year-old or a 55-year-old. And the physicality of the job is also something that, you know, you have to kind of keep in mind. And at some point, I want to take this in a direction where it really becomes more about advocating for others and how I can kind of use my knowledge and information to make things better.
Why do you feel compelled to do that?
No one did it for me. And if I can do it for, you know, I've actually fought a couple of lawsuits over this past couple of decades. And a lot of time my lawyers would ask me this, why are you doing this? Because it costs a lot of money for you to, even though you are right, it costs a lot of money for you to go through this process.
Oh, you were the plaintiffs in these.
Yes. Oh. So why are you doing this? Why, you know, why would you want to go through this process? You know you're right. We know you're right. Whatever. Like, and the reason for that is I want to do something. I want to do what somebody else might not be able to do. So I'm in a position where I can actually take a stand. I'm in a position where I can spend the money to fight this case so that this guy doesn't do it to the next guy who doesn't have the money, who doesn't have the power to actually stand up to this bully, right?
Yeah.
So to me, that's very, very important. I don't know. Maybe I get it from my parents. Maybe I get it from it's just part of my DNA. I can't stand it.
Anissa Waheed is our guest from Tara Kitchen. The number here is 800-348-2551. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. You ready for Abigail in Kingston?
Sure.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you sure? All right, let's go to the phones.
I'm scared.
Abigail, hello.
Hello, hello. I'm ready for you too. Waheed, I have not been in your restaurant in Albany. And the next time I get up there will be for the fundraiser for WAMC.
Well, I'll be darned.
And I will. No. She's keeping it on with some other people. She sold the business. I was listening to
Schenectady, though. If you go to Albany, you won't find her.
Well, that's true. You're absolutely
if you're going to go to Schenectady, about 20 miles over.
I know. I've been on the road with my dearest friend, Louise, and so I just got home to be able to make a call to keep you guys alive, and I will be sending a check.
Thank you.
And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And now I shall hang up and get other people, but keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, and a tout à l'heure to you. 800-348-2551. You never had the Abigail experience, huh?
No, I don't think
One of my favorites here on Vox Pop. Anissa Waheed, so you're not against moving out of business. Will you? Yeah?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so give me a timeline. 5, 10, 20 years?
Definitely think once the kids get out of high school, we're kind of doing this five-year. We've always done a five-year plan,
interesting,
you know, as a family.
Didn't know you were a communist. Good for you.
I'm definitely a socialist, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. So, you know, the next, we know what the next 5 years sort of looks like,
yeah,
in terms of where the family is going to be, the kids, the business, all of that stuff. And then we'll see what happens. But I'm definitely putting down roots into building a second, third career for myself, which kind of leans a little bit away from the physicality of the restaurants. And even if we have restaurants, I may not be in the spaces as much as I am there right now.
You know, interesting. And I, you don't have to answer this question, but 20 minutes ago you mentioned, well, you know, we thought maybe that the kids might want to get involved in the business.
Mm.
No
they
interest?
Don't.
No interest?
They love it. They're in it all day, every day. Even now, you know, they obviously, they work in the restaurant, all of that kind of stuff. They help. But they both have very different interests. And we never, ever said that you guys ever have to do this. We've always told them from day one, this is what mom and dad wanted to do. And the day you guys say you don't want to do this, we'll get out. You know, if we want to get out or if we want to continue. And they're definitely more science and math leaning, engineers and scientists. That's been something that's been very consistent in their conversation for the past 3-4 years. So, you know, it's not like a kid in elementary saying, I'm going to be a doctor, an astronaut.
Right.
You know, like, it's not that. They've been very consistent with how they're pursuing their education and how they pursue their free time. So I see that trajectory for them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know, they go through college. At some point, they want to, you know, who knows? But honestly, I think that it's not something that we're banking on.
Are you and your husband fairly, not tough, but strict and keep them on the focused path?
Oh, yeah. We're very, very strict at home. You know, we're a very scheduled family. There's lots of schedules, lots of their phones go into lockdown at 9 p.m.
Oh, aren't you smart?
Oh, yeah. They didn't even get phones till they got to, like, high school. So, you know,
brilliant.
We're very, very strict.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's probably why, and I've met them, and that's probably why they're so brilliant. Let's go back to the phones. Madeline and Rhinebeck. Madeline, you're on.
Hi. I tuned in late, and I heard you mentioning something about Moroccan food tours, and that sounded really intriguing.
Okay.
Is that happening?
All right, let me stop now just for a minute. Now, we got to be careful. Is there? We can't really do business like this on the air, but is there a website where people can find out about this
stuff? If you go to tarakitchen.com, there is a page dedicated to Tara Journeys. If you go to that page, you'll see all the information that you want to know about this tour.
Fabulous.
A day-by-day itinerary. All of it.
Cool. Hey, Madeline, thanks a lot. Have a great weekend. Our guest today is Anissa Waheed of Tara Kitchen, who came all the way from New York City. I don't think it was just for me, but I'm very glad she did it. You've been coming here on this program for at least 10, 12 years now. It's got to be more,
right? Yeah,
probably more. Jeez. And you're not, you still look young. I don't get it. I'm feeling pretty old. Chad in Clifton Park. Chad, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call,
you
Anissa
bet.
And Ray. I just wanted to say both thanks to Anissa, we love your restaurants, but also to encourage you to get involved with advocacy for employee stock ownership programs.
Yeah.
So in addition to small businesses, I think employee stock ownership programs are one of the ways that we combat the influence of corporations.
Mm-hmm.
So it would be a great,
we've definitely
in addition
talked
to
about
advocating
it, yes.
for small businesses.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Absolutely. We've definitely talked about it.
All right, Chad, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call here. The number is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Anything, you know, we barely talked about food. Anything new on the menu?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of new stuff that I'm doing in, I'm in Tribeca now,
right.
So I hate to keep saying that.
That's
but,
fine.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, stuff that we're doing over there that's new tagines and, you know.
What do you mean?
For example, we just released a menu a few months ago, so you haven't had any of the stuff.
But that's okay.
There's a really fun dish. It's called Kebab Magador, and it's... the history of that is it means a kebab that's lying.
What?
Yeah, it's so funny, right? So it's when you think kebab, you think of meat on a stick.
Right.
But it's not meat on a stick.
Oh,
and that's where the kebab
it's
is lying.
Okay. Well, what is on the stick?
There's nothing on the steak.
Really?
So it's really a tagine, and we make it with, it's
so
a
funny.
Really delicious tagine. It's made with, you know, cubed lamb chunks in this onion sauce called dak mera. And then once you're cooked with it, we poach eggs into the sauce.
No way.
I know. It's a really, really fun dish, and that's been quite popular.
You know, does food still excite you like it used to?
Like, I dream about it.
Really?
Yeah,
still, to this day?
And I love, nothing gives me more pleasure than cooking on the line. Like, to this day.
Being
after the show, I'm driving back to the city, and I'll get back on the line at 6 p.m. tonight.
Oh, that's crazy talk. Really? We could have done this on the phone, Anissa. That, you know what?
No, but I... You know, the time that I'm in the kitchen actually cooking and touching the food and all of that kind of stuff, I feel like it's, to me, that is my time when I get to myself. Like, that to me, that never feels like work. It just feels like I'm getting me time. So I love it, Ray. I love it. The day I stop loving it is the day I will stop.
You know, you talk about the kids being science-oriented.
Yeah.
You have done so many things, from graphic design and everything else to this.
Technology.
Do you consider yourself more of an artist or more of a science brain? I mean, cooking is both.
It's definitely. I was just going to say that. I think that I think I somehow have a combination of both, because you have to be very scientific, not only in your cooking and but also in running a business, right? So you and both parts of it give me lots of, satisfaction.
All right, let's grab a call or two more before we wrap it up with Anissa Waheed and send her back to the line in Tribeca. Frank is here from Sheffield, Mass. Frank, go ahead. Frank is the silent type. Frank, hello. Are you there? Frank is working the butter churn. Okay, well, we give him a chance, right? Are you there, Frank?
Yes, go ahead. I didn't hear it the first time.
Go ahead, man. You got about a minute or two with Anissa.
Okay. This probably doesn't pertain to this. You know why they did away with the I think it was a Moroccan dish with figs, salt, and honey on beef. Is there anything like that in Morocco?
Huh. All I know is if you could see the expression on Anissa's face, you might be a little bit surprised. What do you think?
I can't say I've ever seen a dish like that, but I will go research it for you, Frank.
And the next time Anissa's on, we'll find out. And thank you very much.
Fig, salt, honey, and beef, he said, right?
I got to say, it sounds pretty good to me.
Fig, salt, honey, and beef. All things that work together.
You want to write that down? I mean... All right, so we have about...
I'm sure my stalker husband is taping the show, so...
Well, a shout-out to you, sir.
I love him.
We have less than 2 minutes to go.
Yeah.
What do you want to say
to us? I want to talk about, really quick, the Regional Food Bank is doing a fundraiser on September 29th.
Oh, yes.
I am going to be doing a bastilla, which is a very, very famous imperial dish from Morocco, usually made with chicken or pigeon. I have created a version using local harvest.
Oh, nice.
So there are going to be 6 chefs at this event. Please go to the Regional Food Bank's website, get tickets, support the cause.
When is the event?
September 29th.
Okay.
The other event that I'm also participating in, and don't ask me how I'm doing both of them, because the other one is also on September 29th.
Wait a minute.
This one happens to be in New York City.
Uh-huh.
And that is the patron's dinner for the James Beard Foundation. I'm going to be cooking for that dinner.
Did you do that last year, too?
Did we
talk about this?
No,
earlier
there was
in
another
the
event I did for them.
Yeah.
This is going to be at the Beard House. It's a special reception for patrons of the JBF. So, go to their website, get tickets, become a patron, support the arts, support culinary, support chefs, all of that jazz. So, 2 really big events coming up this month. Please go out and support.
You know, your husband's listening, so he's going to tape this. Although you can you can actually go to our website and hear it in about half an hour. So I'm going to hold you to this now.
Yeah.
Do you ever see a time when you just slow down? Because
you don't
stop.
I will slow down under the grass.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't don't know. I mean, there's something to be said for sitting on the couch and watching Green Acres.
I'm sure, for someone else.
Yeah, for an underachiever who's in radio. Hey, well done. All right, Anissa Waheed, if people want to find out more about Tara Kitchen, which, to reiterate, will stay open in Schenectady and is, of course, in Tribeca and in India if you're out that way.
And Troy and Gildelin are still operating.
For now.
So, yeah, for now. Once they actually close, we will make that announcement. But for now, please don't stop going to Troy.
Oh my gosh,
please don't stop ordering from catering in Gildelin because
we're
continuing to serve the community.
Right.
Find me on Instagram at Chef Anissa, and you can find everything about us on Facebook at Tara Kitchen or our website, tarakitchen.com. There's always something going on. There's new things.
Okay.
I'm excited. And maybe I'll come back and tell you all about the
tour. Well, you know, it would be nice if you come back in a year or two. I mean, I know you're going to be very busy. Anissa Waheed, you're the best. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Ray.
Support comes from River Pavilion at Hutton Brickyards, a waterfront restaurant and bar on the Hudson River in Kingston, serving seafood, live music, and events all summer. Open Tuesday through Sunday, huttonbrickyards.com. And Capriccio on the Green at Pine Haven Country Club. Open to the public for dining, corporate events, holiday parties, business gatherings, and more. 518-564-9510. Thanks again to Anissa Waheed of Tara Kitchen for joining us today. And thank you for listening. Thanks to Mike Bowen, our engineer. Barb King screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Okay. I hope if you have the weekend off, it's a lovely weekend. I am going to take the weekend off, and I will see you Monday at 2 for a Medical Monday.